the lovely audience that we have. Aren't you thankful for the rain we've had? Yes, I had about 150,000 gallons come into my home, but that's okay. That's okay. Some things need to be watered, but you know. We have an interesting topic this evening as we talk about the problem of human authority. It's a big issue, no matter how young you are, how old you are. I was walking down the hallway the other day, and outside the principal's office was a desk set up with a little boy doing his work, and I thought, well, he must have a problem with authority. I related to that when I was younger. I was kicked out of class 1 or 15 times. But when you're evangelical in a Baptist school, it's bound to happen, praise God. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, it's hard to believe we're in the 8th chapter, is really Solomon's search in this world for life, for meaning, everything that was under the sun. And his conclusion to his search for the meaning of life was, apart from God, it's truly meaningless. It's vanity. There isn't a point to living without God. And that's why he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. That's living life with the living God. But tonight, Solomon deals specifically with the problem of human authority, with the problem of government. And it never ceases to amaze me how relevant God's word is, especially in the 21st century. Amen? I mean, all these years later, you go, wow. I mean, that's the wisdom of God. But the issue of authority, especially when it relates to government, is that not a major point of contention right now? Especially in our own country, in a democratic society. It's a major, major point of contention. People are killing each other over it. But the fact of the matter is, and we'll see tonight, who is the ultimate authority? It's God. He has the final say. And what we're going to see here tonight, and it's a common theme throughout the Old Testament as well as the New, that according to God's word, how we respond, how we react to the human authorities that are in place directly relates to our submission to God. They cannot be separated. If we are not submitting to God, we will not submit to the authorities that are in place. We'll be in violation of God's word. So let's start in verse 2 of chapter 8. Solomon says, I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has the power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us to come and worship you, to later celebrate the Lord's Supper. We just ask that you would even prepare our hearts now for that. And Lord, we know that the issue of authority is a major problem in our society, in the world. And the fact of the matter is, God, help us to understand that if we're not submitting to the authorities that are in place according to your word, we're in fact not submitting unto you, because all the authorities that are in place are under your control. If you have ultimate control over everything, that means you have a purpose. And we know that your ways are past finding out. So even though we struggle in this area, Lord, help us to see that you are always working behind the scenes. Help us to see that there will truly be no harm done to us if we just submit unto you, if we trust you. And as Solomon says, if we fear you, that is truly our all. So, Lord, be with us in a special way tonight and open our hearts to the truth that is in your word concerning the problem of earthly authorities. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father God. And we thank you again just for the night that we have to come together in the middle of the week to bring glory to you and to worship you. Remove distractions from our midst and prepare us to hear the truth that is in your word. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So Solomon here gives us three major points regarding authority. And for those of you who like to take notes by way of outline, I'll go ahead and give you the three points that we're going to cover tonight. The first is the demands of authority are to be obeyed. That's verses 2-4. The demands of authority are to be obeyed. And we'll talk about some exceptions, of course. And also, number two, the decisions of human authorities. The decisions that the people who are in power make, we must evaluate them according to God's word. And that's verses 5-8. And then finally, in verse 9, the last point that Solomon gives us is that the dangers of authority are to be understood. There are dangers to those sometimes who are in power, is there not? We can be hurt greatly by those who are in authority. So let's start with the first one, and we'll spend some time here because the demands of authority, it says, are to be obeyed. And Solomon gives us two reasons. You know, this topic is definitely not my favorite, okay? I can be pretty hard-headed, you know, even when it comes to the speed limit, right? But the thing is, it's really based on a submission to God. If we're not submitting to the laws, the regulations, the government, it's a reflection on our relationship with God. Isn't that a hard truth? You know, the Bible said it, not me, so don't get upset. Some of you already have an issue with authority, I can tell. But it's going to be okay. But the first reason we're to obey the demands of authority, it is because of our submission to God. Look in verse 2 again. He says, I say, PJ, can you turn me up just a little bit, brother? Thank you. He says, keep the king's command for the sake of your oath to God. And so Solomon here is telling us that our obedience to the earthly authorities that are present, those who are ruling, those who have been given a measure of authority, is directly related to our submission to God. So if we ask the question, why should we submit to the authorities that are in place, whether it's our boss, or maybe it's our teachers, or our parents, or law enforcement, it's always fun to submit to those guys, right? You see the lights behind you, and you, oh man, shouldn't have been going 80 and a 30. Or, you know, even elected officials, right? It doesn't matter who they are, we're to obey the authorities that are in place simply because of our submission to God, the one true living God. Paul says in Romans 13, 1-7, he said, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And he goes on in verse 7 and says, render therefore to all their due taxes to whom taxes are due. It's a famous favorite scripture of many. Customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Even Paul, when he wrote to Titus, who was in the middle of planting churches, he actually charged them to remind believers to be subject to the rulers and authorities. And this is during Rome's rule. I mean, think about that. We're in a democratic society. We have checks and balances. There's a lot of things to be thankful for with our government, even though there's a lot of problems in our government. Amen? But we have to remember that he's writing this during the time of Roman rule. And he says in Titus 3:1-2, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Yet wouldn't you agree that there is a huge lack of respect of the authorities that are in place right now in the world? Even in the office of the church, pastors and teachers, deacons and elders are oftentimes reviled. They're not respected at all. Their authority, their position. It's like I heard a general one time talking about submitting to the commander-in-chief, and he says, I respect the office. Doesn't matter who's there, I respect the office. He was a man who understood authority. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in Heaven. Yes, not Texas, heaven. Forum which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's fascinating is the word there for citizenship, the Greek word, is where we later get our word politics. We have to remember, loved one, that our politics is in heaven. The kingdom that we belong to is out of this world. As Jesus says, my kingdom is out of this world, to Pilate, ek tu kosmou. I love it. Not just not from this world, it's out of this world. Otherwise, my servants would fight, he said. But our politics are not here on earth. They're actually in heaven. But isn't it easy to become wrapped up in the politics on earth? Oh, it's so easy. I mean, SNL, Saturday Night Live, wouldn't even be in existence if it wasn't for politics, because that's all they do is make fun of the elected officials. Amen? But the Bible says, be careful. It's really easy, too, to forget that we're commanded to pray for the authorities that are in place and not even to speak evil of them, even if they're a different political party. That's not my words. That's what the Lord says here. And listen, that's a true word. We do more damage to our relationship with others, our relationship with Christ, and our witness to the world just in this area on lack of submission to authority. And it's really sad when we bash people who are in authority when we should go to God with the problem. The Bible says you don't speak against those who are in authority. Our time here on earth is temporary. It is short. But while we're here, we are supposed to bring glory to God during the time that we have. 1 Peter 2:13 through 17 tells us, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's the human institutions. And he says, why? For the Lord's sake, rather to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. And it says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but it says, as bondservants of God. I love that word, bondservants. And Bill talked about it the other day. It's a willing servant. I was actually talking to Mario about it the other day in the marriage ministry. And I told him what a beautiful word bondservant is. Because after a slave had finished the time allotted to him, usually 7 years, serving his master, he had the option to go free. But if his life was so good and he loved the master that he was serving, even though his debt was paid and he could go on and start his life, if he had the desire to stay with that master, he would go to the priest and the priest would get an awl and he would place that man's ear on the doorpost or the frame of the temple and he would get a hammer and he would knock a hole right there in the ear. So anyone who saw it, it would ring true that they had an unbelievable master, a good master. And see, we're called to be bondservants, to be willing servants unto the Lord. And he says in 17, Peter says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. And I read that and I say, how often is it that the problems you and I face in this life are directly related to our lack of submission to authority? It's a big problem. Peter said to submit, to literally place yourself under another's authority, and he says to every ordinance. That means even if we don't agree. Isn't that fun? Y'all encouraged yet? Y'all praise God. So again, the first reason we're to obey these demands of authority is because of our submission to God. He says in verse 2, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. But the second reason we're to obey the demands of authority is because of the sovereignty of the king. In verse 3, he says, do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. What is sovereignty? A lot of people are involved now in self-sovereignty in this world, thinking that they can recreate themselves, be whoever they want to be, go against the God who actually created them. But sovereignty, just the phrase here in verse 3, really gives us a great definition. It says, he does whatever he pleases. So this is respecting the position. It's respecting the presence and position of someone who is in authority. That's why it says, don't be hasty to go from his presence. If you haven't been dismissed, don't move. And this is exactly what Peter said when he said, honor the king in 1 Peter 2:17. even if we don't like their character, even if we disagree with the decisions that the person is making, we're still to honor the king. We're still to respect those in authority, and we are also to refuse to do any evil towards them. It says in there, do not take your stand for an evil thing. So what Solomon is saying is, listen, if the person in authority, if the king tells you to do something, as long as it's not against God and the principles of his word, you do it. You accept it. Even if you don't agree, even if you think it's wrong, if it cannot be proven from God's law that it is a violation of his word, we're to be obedient. We're to follow through with the commandment from that authority. And it says, refusing to do any evil. That means refusing to disobey the law. Yet we all know that we don't want anyone telling us what to do. Amen? I've asked Bill over the years several times, what's wrong with that individual? You'll have a situation. And if I had a dollar for every time he said they have a problem with authority, let me tell you, we could build 3 more orphanages down in Mexico. And it's really the truth. It is a major problem, but it shouldn't be among the Christians. But many times, the reason people do not advance to the next level, whether it be in their career or their walk with the Lord or in their parenting or even in their marriage, it's actually directly linked to a lack of submission to authority. Our own submission to authority is actually directly related to what we are entrusted with. And I think that's so important that we remember that. In Jesus' parable of the talents, remember the one who had 5, he gained 5 more. The one who had 2, he gained 2 more, remember? And Jesus said in Matthew 25:23 in this parable, he said, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, where this verse is usually misunderstood is they apply good and faithful to their work. But good and faithful can never describe work. How can work be faithful? How can work be intrinsically good, morally good? It can't. Good and faithful refers to the character of the servant. And that's so important that we see that. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But this does not occur if we do not realize the power of God's authority and what he says about us being obedient to authorities. Look in verse 4. Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Now, I'm thankful we live in a time where we can vote people out of office. Amen? Hey, we got an amen to that one. But during Solomon's time, listen, the monarch, they were the absolute authority. What they said went. What they say was law. Nothing could be done to change it unless God changed their heart. But it's so easy to forget, especially when we disagree or we don't like their character or we're disgusted with them as an individual. It's really easy to forget that those authorities in place are actually established by God and that believers who are properly submitting to God know they don't have a right to question the authorities that are in place. Because their character is good and faithful. Whatever the task is, as long as it's not a violation of God and his word, they do it. So even if they're wrong, again, if we can't prove it biblically, we're not to go against them. We're not to speak evil of them. We're not to question them. And so the demands of authority are to be obeyed, of course, if it's in violation of God's word. Like if your boss told you to cheat customers, and I've had that happen before. And let me tell you, that wasn't pretty. Had to explain to someone I wouldn't sell used parts as new. I wouldn't sell machines that were labeled refurbished when they weren't. And he said, well, I think you have a different definition of refurbished. I said, well, I use Merriam-Webster's dictionary. What do you use? Not the best way to respond to the situation. Amen? Wasn't really in love, wasn't really with respect. But I was disgusted in the fact that this guy who professed to be a Christian was actually ripping people off and then wanted me to take place in it. It was a horrible thing. But we'll talk about the right response. But here's the thing. Where we fail most often is not in entering into a realm of disobedience. The person of authority tells us to do something that's against God's law. We're good at saying no. I really think that's not where the issue is. The issue is how we respond in saying no. That's so important to see because we can be right in the situation. We can be right in the situation and exactly what God's word says. We can open up the Bible and prove it biblically, but we can be wrong in our spirit and it be in sin. So important that we see that. As my father has told me for years, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I'm still trying to figure that one out, Dad, but it's going to be okay. A powerful example in the book of Daniel. We had King Nebuchadnezzar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they wouldn't bow to the idol that he made. And in Daniel 3:15, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "If you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, and let me tell you, in the Hebrew, it is with the utmost respect, the utmost caution, as they speak to him as a monarch, as a king. So it's important we remember that. They said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king," you see the respect, "that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." So they didn't say, "You know what, you're a wicked ruler. You don't know God. I don't have to obey you." That's not what they said. They came and they approached him as a king and said, "Listen, what you're asking me to do is in violation of God's word. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it." But it still was with respect, just like in Acts when Peter and the disciples or the apostles were commanded not to teach in Jesus' name. In Acts 5:29, but Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." So the only way for them to be obedient to God was what? Well, it was to disobey the authorities. So there is a time in which we are supposed to not obey the commands of authorities in place if it is in a violation of God's word. But we refuse to obey with a spirit of meekness, with a spirit of gentleness. We do it with the love of God. So yes, are authorities to be obeyed? Absolutely, but there are exceptions. But here in verse 5, it tells us how to make the right decision in the midst of this. And man, it's walking in discernment. The Bible doesn't teach that we're supposed to blindly follow authorities. Amen? Bible never says that. But we have to evaluate the decisions that they make. And Solomon gives us two reasons, and they're so important of to why we should evaluate their decisions. Number one, and this is in verses 5 through 6, because it affects our lives. I mean, the decisions that are made in upper government and even in the local government, does it have an effect on our lives? Absolutely. Look in verse 5. "He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful." Romans 13:3 says the same thing. I read it earlier. "And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment." So our obedience to the authorities that are in place, it provides protection. That's what it says. It says, "We'll experience nothing harmful." But what Solomon is saying here is that there is a proper procedure, that's the word time, or there's a proper way to voice a protest where the king's heart can be changed. And you see, that's about God's timing. That's about having his discernment and walking in his wisdom. For every matter, it says there's a time, there is a procedure, and there is a judgment. And someone who is walking in the wisdom of God will discern this. Why? Because wisdom is the ability to discern between good and evil. Several times we see in God's word that the heart of the king was changed. Even Jonathan was able to change the heart of his father, who said he was going to kill David, and said, "Listen, your servant David hasn't done anything against you." One of my favorite examples is in the book of Esther. And did God change the heart of King Ahasuerus in that book? Absolutely he did. It was a mighty miracle, but it was in his timing. It was by his procedure. It wasn't in the way that maybe they would have wanted it to happen. It certainly wasn't instantaneous. Don't forget, Esther fasted for 3 days and nights before she even approached the king. And before that, she was waiting for a month even to come before his presence. But it says in Esther 4:10 through 17, "Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go in to the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai, he told Esther an answer, and he says, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace, any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." But he says, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And my maids and I will likewise fast. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." And so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. You know, the divine role of reversal, God working behind the scenes, was ever so present in the book of Esther. It's one of my favorite books because of that. Everything that was meant for evil, God turned to good. I mean, that's only God can do that, but it was in his timing. It was his procedure. So despite all the evil that was planned, did it happen? No. Did Mordecai end up hanging from those gallows? No, Haman did. Everything that was supposed to happen was reversed, and even the heart of the king was changed. And it saved the Jewish people, but it was because it was done in the right way. It was because it was done with discernment and in God's timing with his wisdom. Verse 6, "Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of a man increases greatly." You know, the NIV does a great job actually in this passage. And it says here for this verse, "A man's misery weighs heavily upon him." So we have to always make sure, through the discernment of God, with his wisdom being our guide, that the decisions we make should really be the decisions that we ought to make according to his word. And so we have to be guided by his wisdom to do that. But not only do we evaluate the decisions of authorities, because it obviously affects our lives, but also, and I think sometimes we forget this, the people in authority, are they limited? Do they have limitations? Yes, they have major limitations. And Solomon reminds us this. He gives us actually four limitations of authority. Look in verse 7. "For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur?" Well, that's the first reason. They don't know what the future holds. Doesn't that bless you? Makes me feel better. Sometimes we put too much trust in them. So there's a limitation here to human authority. They don't know what God knows. And so that's why we have to evaluate the decisions that they make. And of course, that's under or guided by the wisdom of God. Number two, the second reason these authorities are limited, it says, "No one has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit." So the authorities cannot contain the Spirit, or this is the same word in the Hebrew, pneuma, is wind. It's probably a better translation here. The NIV says, "No man has power over the wind to contain it." So the point being made here is you cannot control the wind. They don't have that ability. They are limited, just as an authority cannot control, cannot predict, and cannot contain what God is doing. When he's working behind the scenes, I tell you what, his will come to pass every time. No matter how high that king may be, even if he is Ahasuerus in over 127 provinces and can throw a six-month party, no. You think that that matters to God? Absolutely not. He has the final say, so why do we even worry? Isn't that the truth? We worry and we fret and we fight. You see people protest and hold up signs when we should be on our knees seeking God. That's the real way to protest. Because he's the only one who can change things. But another limitation of authority is it can't control death. Now, we wish we could, especially those in authority. Man, they seek to live forever. But it says in verse 8, "And no one has power in the day of death." There is not one thing someone in authority can do about the day of death. Amen? Death comes for us all. But number four, the last limit that we see of authority, it is limited in its ability to conquer sin. to conquer evil. Look in verse 8 again. It says, there is no release or there is no discharge or furlough from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. One translation says, and no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. So the final reason that you and I must always carefully evaluate the decisions that authorities are making is because they can never help us with our problem of sin. That is a power that they do not have. They can make all kinds of rules and decrees and regulations, but can morality be legislated? No, it can't. Otherwise, our society would be without sin. So just as one who is in war cannot be discharged from war, right? If you're drafted or you're in the army any kind of military branch, hey, you're not going to be discharged, right? I mean, unless you do something horrible. But for the most part, you say, hey, I want to go home, right? What are they going to say? Sorry, you know, I mean, it's not going to happen. They have the ultimate say. And so I look at that and I say, well, they can't help me escape the bondage of sin. Even though they may be a great ruler and do many great things, they can love the Lord. They can never, ever do anything about our issue with sin in our lives. Only God can do that. So we see from Solomon that the demands of authority are to be obeyed, that everything that they do, the decisions of these human authorities have to be evaluated. But the final verse here in verse 9 tells us the actual dangers of authority are to be understood. Solomon says, all this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. So he was limited to what happened here on earth in his survey of this time. And he says, there is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Now, does human authority, do they always do what is right? Well, no, of course not. But the point that Solomon's making here can only be understood in the context of Ecclesiastes. There's a lot of frustrations in this life, especially when it relates to earthly authorities. But don't forget Solomon's conclusion. Despite everything, he said, fear God, keep his commandments. That is man's all. And the question that I have to ask myself and you have to ask yourself is, are we truly submitting to God's authority? That is so important to see, because that will determine if you and I are submitting to the earthly authorities that are in place. And when you do that, is it not for our betterment? Absolutely it is. It's not only because we're submitting to God, but it's because we want to bring glory to Him and point the lost to Jesus. We want to be the light of the world. And so we can have peace, we can have joy, no matter who's in power, no matter who is the authority that has been put in place, if we simply submit to God. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter who's in office. When we submit to God, it removes that worry, it removes that angst about whoever is in power. As David said in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, in your right hand, or at your right hand, our pleasures forevermore. That's basically what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:13. He says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy, take pleasure in the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You see, when we fail to submit to God, and then in turn fail to submit to the authorities that are in place, listen, we're losing a gift from the Lord. We're losing something. We're stealing from ourselves through our own disobedience. Listen, we should appreciate every second that we have here on earth, the time that we have, and even the way that God's doing it. You know, like I said, He's working behind the scenes. And if we look back on situations in our life, we can all pick one and wish, and where we had hoped something would happen, but it didn't. And then at the end, we think, thank God it didn't happen. Amen? I mean, we see what God was doing and that actually He had a plan and He had a purpose for exactly what was taking place. But if we get all upset about the decision someone's making in authority that aren't in violation with God or their character, listen, we're going to be a miserable, joyless, peaceless group of people. Why? Because we're not trusting in God. We're not truly fearing Him. We don't remember that our politics are in heaven. I don't have to worry about who's in office. I have to pray for who's in office. I have to respect them. Why? Because of my submission to God. Period. That's how it goes. We lose so much. We have so much stolen from us just because of our lack of submission. As Paul says in Romans 11:33, as I close here, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom which is available to us and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for the truth that's in your word. And Lord, as we ask you to just to prepare our hearts for communion, if there's an area in our lives where we have felt justified in the way that we have responded to the authorities that are in place, whether it be by speaking evil of them, maybe it's just simply we don't pray for them as you've commanded. Lord, forgive us. Let us see that we're actually robbing from us because you have a divine plan. You have a specific time and procedure and process for everything that's going on. And Lord, that's all based in our submission unto you. So God, expose those areas in our lives. Maybe we don't even notice it. Maybe it's been such a habit for so long that we don't even realize it. Lord, I ask even now that you would prick our hearts and expose that area in our lives so we can bring our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and everything we do back in submission to you and your word. We thank you for everything that you've done for us and everything that you're going to do. Thank you for being our good shepherd. We thank you and we praise you. And all God's people say, amen. Pastor.